On Midwest Week, major changes are in the works for the River Bandits and minor league baseball. I'm Herb Trix, and my guest this week is Steve Batterson, sports reporter for the Quad City Times and Dispatch Argus. So, Steve, remind us how the minor leagues are organized, or at least have been organized up until now, and their relationship with the major league teams.
Yeah, things will be changing soon. In the past, there have been two separate entities running things, Major League Baseball, which would provide talent and coaches for minor league affiliates that had reached agreements with their major league parent club for windows of 2 or 4 years. The minor league operation was a separate entity as well, had been around since about 1910, but will fade into the sunset very soon as Major League Baseball exerts a little additional control over its feeder system.
Okay, so they were minor league teams that were sort of ruled by something called Minor League Baseball, but the teams separately, contracted with major league teams?
Correct. They would sign player development agreements with a major league parent club for a window of 2 or 4 years. They had an option there. It was a chance for clubs to kind of create relationships that they felt were advantageous to their local, you know, markets. Some were based on geography. Some were, simply longstanding situations. The Minnesota Twins had fielded a AAA team in Rochester, New York for decades. That will be going away starting next season.
Okay, so up until now, where have the Quad Cities River Bandits been located in all of this, Steve?
Yeah, the River Bandits have been a low-A, classified as a low-A team. Basically, that is the first full season stop on what had been minor league baseball's ladder to the majors. A couple of levels below Quad Cities, short season clubs that operated basically from June until around Labor Day. Quad Cities was a full season stop, 140 game schedule. If you were a player, you would want to be advanced from Quad Cities in low A to high A. And then on to Double A and Triple A before you would reach the major leagues. That's been the natural progression. Those short season leagues are going away under the plan of Major League Baseball to reduce its number of farm clubs from 160 to 120, which means that there will be 40 communities that won't have affiliated baseball in the form that it has existed since about the 1960s.
So, Steve, do the major leagues just want to lessen the number of teams in the minor leagues, or is it just saving money, or is there some other grand plan that I don't understand?
Well, I think some of it is economic. There has been some pressure put on Major League Baseball to pay minor league players more. This would allow them to accomplish that in part because there would be fewer minor league players to pay by reducing the number of farm clubs. And actually, the plan that is being put in place would allow teams to only have 4 affiliates. Currently, they can have as many as they want. Some organizations like the Yankees have 7 or 8 minor league clubs that they've been able to kind of bring in talent and develop it over time, and other smaller market teams in general, have had differing numbers of minor league clubs, especially in that short season level. You can kind of spread those teams out over time.
Okay, so in the past, a team would have triple, double, and single A teams, and then affiliate with some short season ones too.
Typically, yes. And sometimes there would be at least 2 and sometimes 3 or 4 of those short season clubs, depending on the major league parent club. And it's desire in terms of what their developmental objectives were.
Okay. So what impact would all of this have on the River Bandits and the Midwest League?
Well, the immediate impact is the Midwest League will no longer be a low A league. It appears that, all of the I's haven't been dotted and the T's haven't been crossed yet, but it looks like the Midwest League is going to become a high A league. What that means for baseball fans in the Quad Cities is that you would be getting players who are probably a little slightly older, have a little bit of professional experience on their resume. Those low A teams are going to be located for the most part in California and Florida, some markets where maybe the ballparks aren't quite as new. It will kind of align baseball's better facilities by tier, essentially, is what's going to happen. And, it'll be a situation where fans will see probably a higher percentage of players who will play here will actually make it to the major leagues. Now, Quad Cities has been blessed with a great deal of talent in recent seasons that has matriculated up the ladder to the Houston Astros roster or the St. Louis Cardinals roster when they were a Cardinals affiliate. Now the team will be one step closer to the major league. So, some of those guys who are, maybe late round draft picks that don't quite make it, those guys aren't going to be getting to this level.
Okay. And what about the other teams in the league? Burlington, Clinton, Cedar Rapids, Beloit, et cetera. Are they all going to survive as well?
Well, part of this whole deal is to kind of, reconfigure the league as it is. And some of this is going to be based on geography, and there will be some changes. All of those haven't come down the pike yet. It's a work in progress, probably sometime here in the next week to 2 weeks. A lot of this will be settled out. But, it does appear like the Midwest League, which has been 16 teams, probably will survive as probably a 12-team league is what they are looking at. They have not announced what teams will not be back yet. Supposedly the way it's going to work is that Major League Baseball will issue invitations to acquire professional baseball licenses to 120 teams across the country. For markets like Quad Cities and Cedar Rapids, the offers probably are going to be there. For smaller markets like Clinton and Burlington, it's much less guarantee at this point. And for those clubs to survive, we'll probably take some issues elsewhere, maybe higher up the ladder, to kind of trickle down. Certainly those teams will exist in some way, shape, or form. And baseball has said it is going to work to make sure that every community that has a team now will continue to have a team at some level in the future. And we've seen a little of that elsewhere with the unveiling of prospect leagues and independent league affiliations with Major League Baseball that are going to create some opportunities with baseball shrinking its draft from 40 rounds to probably 20. There's going to be a lot of extra players out there, and some of those leagues and some of those communities are going to have a chance to host some of those players who, may still be in a position to work their way into minor league baseball, but just haven't quite reached that level where there would be a top 20 round prospect.
Now, Steve, has the pandemic played any role here? Has it closed some teams that might have been closed down by Major League Baseball anyway and made the process, a little easier or streamlined or something like that?
Well, it certainly put Major League Baseball in a much more dominant position in terms of negotiations that had been kind of stalled and had been ongoing for more than a year now to kind of get things worked out, because the contract at the root of all of this, the contract between Major League Baseball and Minor League Baseball expired on September 30th. And Major League Baseball just essentially let the clock run out on it. And now they're in a position where they've got some power and they can pretty much align this thing any way they want. So when they talk about that they're having talks with Minor League Baseball right now, there really isn't much negotiating going on. What's happening is Major League Baseball is saying, this is what we want to do and this is how we're going to do it.